ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In a landmark decision earlier this month, the High Court overturned 20 years of precedent and ruled that indefinite immigration detention is unlawful. At the time that the decision was made, it led to the immediate release of the plaintiff and more than 80 others and left the government scrambling to respond. What we didn't know were the court's actual reasons for the decision, like their explanation, which of course has the power to inform new laws that might be considered. That changed yesterday when the High Court finally released its full judgment. Here to discuss the case and explain it to us, because I know you've heard in the headlines a lot about the constitutional law and the different regimes, is constitutional lawyer and professor Anne Toomey from the University of Sydney Law School. Professor Anne Toomey, welcome and thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're always great at unpacking this stuff for us. What did the court find?
Okay, well, the court found that you can only detain a person, either A, if you're doing it by court because you've been convicted of a crime and you're being punished for it, or B, if it's for some other legitimate purpose. And one legitimate purpose is holding a person in detention until you make a decision about whether to let them into the country and continuing to hold them until such time as you can deport them. So that's a legitimate purpose and it's not punishment. But if you continue to hold a person where it's no longer, they're no longer reasonably likely to be able to be removed to their country in the foreseeable future, you're not doing it for that legitimate purpose. And therefore, continuing to hold them is punishment, and that's unconstitutional.
The government's response has been to rush through legislation. What can the government do legally to try to keep people who are the most hardened criminals detained?
Okay, so the problem here is one that you're not allowed to do this for the purposes of punishment, but you can possibly do something for the purposes of protecting the community and preventing future crime. So that's where the government needs to focus its attention. Now, in this particular case, the government had run an argument that it was a legitimate purpose to continue to hold people just for the purpose of preventing them from entering into the community. And the High Court said, nope, that's not a legitimate purpose. You can't do it. That means it's then punishment. You're just punishing these people because they fall into a particular category. You can't do that. But what the High Court did say at the very end of its judgment, it said that this particular judgment and the grant of relief, which is allowing this person out to exercise their common law liberty, does not prevent detention of the plaintiff on some other applicable statutory basis, such as under a law providing for preventive detention of a child sex offender who presents an unacceptable risk of reoffending if released from custody. So that means that you could still be detained in custody under a preventive detention regime if you have an unacceptable risk of reoffending. Now, the problem here is that the government, and well, certainly the opposition and possibly the government, wants to just do some kind of legislation that treats this entire category of people as people that you can just chuck back into detention on the basis that it's a risk to the community. This judgment wouldn't support that. What this judgment would support, however, is under a law, if you have a process in which a person can go before a court and a judge can make some kind of a finding against them, saying that they're satisfied that there's reasonable grounds to believe that making an order of detention is in the public interest because of an unacceptable risk that they'll commit a crime in the future, then that person as an individual can be detained. Trying to detain an entire group of people simply because they're unlawful non-citizens is not going to work. So it's going to have to be some kind of individualised process.
Okay. And does that mean ministerial discretion?
No, it would really have to go through a judge and a court, and the judge would have to consider their particular circumstances. Now, we have that kind of legislation already at the state level in relation to these sorts of offences. So at the moment I've got on my screen the New South Wales one, which is the Crime Serious Crime Prevention Orders Act. And that has a process in which a court will look at the various circumstances concerning the person. Mm-hmm. So what offence had they been committed in the past? And they get all sorts of evidence from psychiatrists, et cetera, about what their reoffending prospects are, et cetera, et cetera. So there's an entire process to go through. The second problem for the Commonwealth in doing this is that this sort of stuff comes normally under state laws, because offences of murder and sex offences or whatever, they're usually state crimes. Does the Commonwealth even have a power to make a law in relation to preventive detention there? It's doubtful. It's possible you might squeak it in, but the relationship is pretty tenuous.
So interesting. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, you're welcome.
Constitutional lawyer and Professor Anne Toomey from the University of Sydney Law School. You're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.